Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. 36 degrees on a Thursday, February 27th. Jason Kantz, good morning.
Good morning.
So, all of a sudden last night, I was like, wow, how did I hurt my knee? And just, I'm like, I don't remember. I didn't fall on the ice. I mean, you know, you're kind of recounting that.
Sure. Yep.
And then I'm like, you know, at some point in the day, I couldn't remember when, I think I was rushing, you know, and I rush around here, and you've commented on that. You see me rushing from studio to studio. But I think I banged the desk or something. And so, yeah, it's fine. It's just kind of probably a bruised knee. But it is, you ever get that where you're kind of like, where did that pain come from?
Yeah. Yeah. And then normally what I attribute that to is that I'm in my 50s. And, you know, I mean, it's just you wake up with pains. You're like, I must have done something.
Right.
And there's so many unexplainable pains. And,
right.
When Alex was little, they would go down the stairs on their knees. And you just boom, 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 down the stairs. And I think, I don't know that I could walk again after I did that.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I mean, the flexibility and the bounce back nature of being young. But yeah, you're older. I mean, I'm just like, where'd you get that noggin on your head? I don't remember, really.
Yep, so, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
All right, well, we've got Crab Fest. And some of the listeners are responding, like Keith, and I appreciate what he said. He said, good morning, Mark, as I've been thinking about you and Jason and your conversation about Larry Crabb, I thought of the song Michael W. Smith's Friends. And then later he says, it's always, I don't know, I don't get everything with the transcription here, but it's always great as you listen to you and Jason speak. You can tell how close a friendship the two of you have. We don't have many like that in life. And so that was really a nice comment.
That is a nice comment. And it's good to be seen like that.
And it's really true. I mean, we had our men's group, which was a follow-up on the man club that you and I were a part of in the past. And we had it last night, 11 guys. And I was just so excited. I mean, the opening question has become, you know, how's it going and what is that stirring in you? And if you just go around and you answer that honestly, you can start to get to know people. And so often we're watching our screens and we're not getting to know even our family.
Absolutely true. And, you know, I think that has been, for all the good that has come with technology, I think that's one of the things that can be a drawback is that, you know, we don't sit in space with one another and hear one another's stories. And I think the opportunity to be able to ask that question, what's stirring for you, and answer it honestly is something that's deeply needed for all of us.
Yeah. We have... So, okay, we better finally get to this. So, connecting. So, tell me what this book's about.
Yeah, so this book is really about, again, this idea of relating well with one another. He talks about this idea of healing communities, of really being in, as you're just saying, in presence with one another.
Yeah.
You know, he talks psychologically, there's this whole history of what treatment and repair, you know, in psychology, as opposed to this idea of connection and relationship with one another. And so this, again, I think is a big shift for him in asking one another, what is God's Spirit doing in you? And being able to bear witness to that with one another.
The stunning thing to me about it, and I want to go back and reread it again because it is worth doing that, but I think connecting from Larry Crabb. But the thing is that the Christian counselor, I mean, basically he's like, you don't necessarily need an expert.
Right.
He's like, you need a person. And again, not to knock counseling, but he was still invited and he was still often even like the keynote at these Christian. How was he able to do that? How was he able to pull that up?
Yeah, you know, I think he could pull it off because he was touching on something people wanted and needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in my PhD program, one of my colleagues was looking at factors that were important to healing, and it didn't really matter a whole lot what therapeutic perspective people used, and I think there's a lot of good ones out there. It was really about the relationship. It was about the process, about connecting with the therapist as well. And, you know, I think we see that in our day-to-day lives too.
Finally, we're going to leave it there, but Gene Hackman has died at the age of 95. What's the first one or two movies that come to mind with him?
Oh, boy. The one that immediately comes to mind for me is The Firm, which was a movie with Tom Cruise, which I've watched many times. And
okay.
Just loved. And
yeah.
So how about you?
Hoosiers comes to mind first.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But,
of course.
There was a great movie he did, Mississippi Burning, too.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw that one.
No, that was excellent. Yep. So, terrific actor. All right.
Yep.
Thank you, Jason, WWIB. Actor Gene Hackman passing at the age of 95 and paying a bit of a tribute here this morning on WWIB as we give you actor and actress's birthdays throughout the year at this time. The Hollywood legend passing at 95. He won two Oscars over his 50-year career for The French Connection and way back in 1971 and again some 20 years later for the Clint Eastwood film Unforgiven.
Been talking about the Queen again? On Independence Day?
Hackman began pursuing an acting career in the late 50s and joined the Pasadena Playhouse in California, where he befriended Dustin Hoffman, and the rest, as they say, is history. He'll also be remembered as the basketball coach in the 1986 classic Hoosiers and for playing Lex Luthor in the 1978 version of Superman, as well as other memorable roles. Here he is from Hoosiers.
I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game. In my book, we're going to be winners.
And here he is as Lex Luthor in the Christopher Reeve Superman movie from way back in 1978.
Bye-bye, California.
Hello, new West Coast, my West Coast. Costa del X, Lutherville, Marina del X, Otisburg. Otisburg?
Yeah, police in New Mexico say Hackman and his wife were found dead in their Santa Fe home yesterday afternoon. Their deaths are under investigation. The foul play is not suspected. Again, Gene Hackman, dead at the age of 95. So I had a listener message me this morning on our listener line at 715-396-1670 with a fine message that asking, hey, some morning before 6 again, could you go back to sharing about who we are in Christ? And I'm like, I could do that, or, and I could do it right now. At 10 before 7. Yeah, who you are in Christ. I always think of Neil Anderson with this. He wrote a whole book on this, and you've seen these at various places. Leading of Power used to have them on, you know, the gospel on one side. And so just run through this quickly. Who are you in Christ? My friend, you are accepted. You're God's child. You're Christ's friend. You've been justified. You're united with the Lord and one with him in spirit. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God. You're a member of Christ's body. You're a saint. You've been adopted as God's child. You have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. You've been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. You are complete in Christ. And that's only for starters. Not only are you accepted, you're secure, forever free from condemnation. You can be assured that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. How he does that, I don't know. He's God. You are free from any condemning charges against you. You cannot be separated from the love of God. I always think of the Al Denson song in that regard. You've been established and anointed and sealed by God. You're hidden with Christ in God. You can be confident that the good work that the Lord began in you will be perfected. You're a citizen of heaven. You've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You can find grace and mercy in a time of need, and you're born of God, and the evil one cannot touch you. 1 John 5:18. And that's only two-thirds of it, okay? That's the accepted and secure. You also are significant. You're the salt and light of the earth. You're a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. You've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. You're a personal witness of Christ. Your body is God's temple. You're a minister of reconciliation for the Lord, God's co-worker. That gets overlooked by a lot of folks. You're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. You are God's workmanship. You can approach the Lord with freedom and confidence, Ephesians 3:12 and Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Reminded me of the Michael English song. Got a question this morning.
Yeah, so we'd love to hear from you again in your own voice. As always preferred at 715-396-1670. Think back, walk down memory lane. What was your first job? We'd love to hear about it. What did you do? What did you like? Maybe not like about it. If you remember, maybe what your hourly wage was or something like that. But let's just go down memory lane together. Let's talk about first jobs. What was your first job? Just share a little bit about what it was. 715-396-1670, 396-1670. What was your first job? What'd you do?
Hi, this is Julie. Other than babysitting, my first job was working at the candy counter at the co-op shopping center. The old co-op shopping center where the Highland Mall is now. And I still remember the soft serve ice cream. We had soft serve ice cream and hot dogs and candy, of course, but in bulk, and you got big scoops and you could scoop it out. And I think that candy corn was the cheapest candy at like about 25 cents a pound. It was a really fun job, and I was still in high school, and so it was a good job for me. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, this is Megan from Alma, and I'm calling to talk about my first job. My grandparents owned a dairy farm, so on weekends in the summer, I would help out with them. When I was 16, I started milking cows and all the things that go along with that, and I got paid $200. Every paycheck was probably about every 2 weeks. It taught me a lot, especially hard work and determination and working until you get the job done. Thanks. Bye.
Good morning. This is Beth from Elk Mound. My first job was helping my dad on the farm. I was paid $35 a month, and it involved milking the cows, driving tractors, doing field work, mowing away hay in the haymow, which was hot work. And I also babysat for a family neighbor. So, yeah, that was growing up hard work. I loved it. It got me out in the country. I was in the country, and I still love the country. So have a good day. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Mike from La Crosse. And my memory of my first job was planting trees on some land outside of Viroqua, Wisconsin. So that's what I did for my first job, and I was like probably 15, 16 at the time, and I made like $10 an hour doing it. All right. God bless. Have a good day.
This is John from Ladysmith. My first job was testing paper at a paper mill. One thing I remember is one day somebody ran the vat over and it flowed down into the basement. On a 90-degree day, it was outside. And I had to stay overtime to help clean it up. That was miserable, but that was part of the job I had to do. I learned a lot from it. Anyway, that was my first job.
This is Diane. My very first job when I was 12 years old was babysitting. And that was in the 70s when everybody was snowmobiling. And so I would babysit for 25 cents an hour, and several people would dump their kids at one house. So there were times when I'd be watching six or seven kids for 25 cents an hour. Then my first job was when I was a senior in high school, I worked the concession stand at the outdoor movie theater in Menominee. The theater was where the swimming pool is now, and the concession stand faced away from the screen, so I could hear the movies, but I could never see them. And that was, at that time, minimum wage, I don't know, probably $2 or $3 an hour. Thanks.
My name is Pam, and I'm sitting in Cornell, Wisconsin, waiting to go to work. I live in Hayward. My first job was on our parents' resort. I was the sanitary engineer. In other words, I emptied the garbage and put liners in. Now, that was back when there were no plastic garbage cans or plastic bags. You had to make your own linings out of paper. Oh, what fun. And I was also the gopher girl. Go for this and go for that and go for some toilet paper and go for towels. So that was my first job. I must have been about 10, but loved it. Had a lot of great camaraderie and wonderful women growing up, good examples. Thank you. Bye.
Good morning. This is Mike from Barron. My first job was, I was about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old. And my dad and my two uncles and my grandpa all got wood stoves that year. And my dad would get me up in the summer before dark, and we would cut wood all day long and get home when it was dark. I just remember falling into bed and passing out and then getting up the next day, and we did that for quite a long time. And then when I got my fourth job, that would have been my a job working in a warehouse picking orders, after like 4 hours, the warehouse manager came up and was like, break time. And I kept working. And finally, the third time, he's like, it's break time. I'm like, I'm not tired. Why would I take a break? And he goes, by law, you have to. So it was because of all the long hours of cutting wood. We didn't get breaks except for a little sandwich once in a while. But so that was my first job. And my pay for the first job was staying warm in the house.
Hey, Caleb, I don't know if I can get two in, but this is my oldest daughter. When they turn 10, I take them with me on the route. Do route work, and we were at the stop, and the gal working there, she was 16, a checkout gal, and she was complaining because she had to work 3 days in a row, 8-hour shifts. And we get out into the truck, and my daughter goes, my daughter was 12 at the time. She goes, why would anyone want to work 8 hours when you can work 12 and make more money? I'm like, that's my girl. Woo! She's 30 now, running 4 head starts. She's like the youngest. She's like a district manager. They've promoted her so much. So,
woohoo.